good to be here. Having a little trouble here. Okay. Fancy technology. It's really good to be here. I'm blessed, and I was just thinking how good the Lord has been to me. Truly how he's provided everything I've needed in my life. And I think I've seen the testimony of our church and how he's provided for all of us. I was considering just how you know he gave me my wife and my children, and that's just a blessing. And then you know I think about all the evangelists who went out, and you know Josh, God provided a wife for him and Corey, and I mean now Adam's getting married. You know it's just really great thinking about you know how the Lord has truly provided for all of us, and I want to thank the Lord for that. It's funny how John was saying that his problem, you know, all his life is that he talks too much, and you know his wife always telling him, you know, hey, you know, stop talking so much. And the truth is, with me, it's always been the opposite. And my wife's complaint is I don't talk enough, and she's always saying, you know, you need to say more and talk more, and you know, don't just say yes to my questions and no, you know, actually explain yourself. So I'm working on it. But with that said, I want to get into my message. Let's turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Very familiar verses, I believe. Paul is talking about the perilous times that are going to come, and he's giving a description of this. And I just want to read the verse 4. He says, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Now, if you've read this list before, I think you'll agree with me that he got a perfect description of our times. I mean, he just nailed it, right? He gave us exactly what we're seeing in the world today. It's exactly what we're seeing. We're seeing this list just explode all around us in the world. And he talks about this one right here that I want to speak about tonight. He says that they're lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. I mean, if we can describe our world, especially here in America and where we live, I mean, that is a perfect description of what we're seeing. Men are lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. That's what it seems the world is telling us our life is about. The world wants you to think your life is about pleasures. That's what your life is about. Live for pleasures. I mean, that's what life is all about. And the whole world is just telling us this. They really want us to think that our life is about pleasures. And it goes so far they're even trying to make it look like it's biblical. I mean, you know, like Oprah's saying, you know, God is seeking your happiness and he's seeking your for you to be joyful. And that's what he wants. You know, like if God's mission is for you to be happy 24/7, that's what he's looking for you to be happy. Now, I'm not saying God doesn't want you to be happy. But believe me, that is not the big picture. That is not the point of life. But the world wants you to think that. And is doing a real good job of it. Now I have to ask myself, why would the world be interested in making me think I need to live for pleasures? Why does the world care if you are living for pleasures? I mean, are they seeking your happiness? Is that their objective? Are they seeking for you to be just joyful in your life? Why would the world care if you're seeking pleasures? Well, it's because they want to sell stuff. Right? And so if they can make something that they know you're going to want, they can convince you that your life is about pleasures, and they're going to sell it to you. So they got, I mean, and this is why it's exploding, because everybody wants to, you know, make money and get rich, and they know how to sell you stuff. Just convince you that you need to satisfy all those desires that will make you feel pleasure. And so they're just bombarding us, making us think that our life is about pleasure. And that's a perfect description of what we're seeing in our times. Now, before I really get into this, I want to make it clear that pleasures are not wrong. Pleasures are a good thing. God created pleasure. I mean, He wants us to have pleasure. Yes? That's the point. That's the reason we can actually feel pleasure, because God does want us to feel pleasure. There's a little place in our brain. It's what we call a pleasure center. It's called medically a locus accumbens. And that pleasure center sparks what we feel as pleasure, and it makes us joyful and it makes us happy. God put that in us, and He wants us to feel pleasure. But like man, like humanity does, so often they corrupt what God has made for good. Yeah. Like money in itself is not wrong. But men make life about money, and that becomes evil and wicked. Well, pleasures in themselves are not wrong. Pleasures are from God, and He wants us to enjoy, and He wants us to have these good times in life. But our life is not about pleasure.
Right.
And that's what the world is trying to convince us of. Pleasures are a part of life, but life is not about pleasure. And if that's what you're expecting life to be about, and especially sometimes in Christianity, you know, that Christianity is telling you, you know, come to Christ and everything's going to work out. Everything's going to be good. You know, it's all going to be happy and joyful and pleasurable. And if that's what you really think your life is about, it's not going to take long for you to fall and fall hard. You're going to get discouraged, because guess what? Life is not about pleasures. It's not what it's about. Pleasures are just a part of life. Life is about much more. But I just want to talk about what I consider, what I think, the irony of loving pleasure. It's quite the paradox, because what you would think, you would imagine that if somebody wants and loves pleasures and wants to feel more pleasure and just always be satisfying that pleasure center, what he would need to do is just always be preoccupied and always be feeding that pleasure center. And so you think that those who have more pleasure and are always constantly feeling pleasure, those are the ones that are always going to be satisfied and be happy and be joyful. But it's very interesting, and psychiatrists are finding something quite puzzling, and that's that we're seeing that the more you satisfy your pleasures, the more difficult it is for you to actually feel pleasure. That's quite puzzling. It's, you know, that's not what you would expect. And what they're calling this, I don't know exactly what you call it, but this phenomena is called anhedonia. They say it's anhedonia, which means you're incapable of feeling pleasure. And they're seeing this grow tremendously. I mean, it's just growing all over the world. People are becoming more anhedonic, or I don't know how you say that. But they're becoming less and less capable of feeling pleasure. And what's weird about it is that right now, in our time, it's so easy for us to get pleasure. I mean, around every corner at the tip of our fingertips, we can find something that will produce pleasure. I mean, there's just things that stimulate our pleasure center everywhere. So why is it more and more difficult for us to find pleasure. Well, that's what anhedonia is, and I find it quite ironic. But this man, somebody I read, his name is Dr. Hart. He's a psychiatrist, and he found out that there's a couple reasons why anhedonia, the difficulty in feeling pleasure, is growing so much around the world. And the reason for it, first of all, is because we're overpowering our pleasure center with one certain stimulant. So overpowering our pleasure center is when one pleasure, one certain, whatever you may call it, drug, is stimulating our brain and making us feel pleasure. That one thing is so overpowering that now the only thing that makes us feel pleasure is that. And everything else kind of dims down and doesn't cause you to feel pleasure anymore. The ones he talks about most that are like this are drugs. And he mentions cocaine. He says that cocaine is probably the one that gives this the biggest effect. And that is, cocaine goes into your system and it touches that, it stimulates that pleasure center, and man, you enjoy it. You feel pleasure. But guess what? It's so strong, it overpowers. It overwrites your whole system. And now it tells you the only thing that can make you feel pleasure is cocaine. That's it. It overpowered you. And now you don't find pleasure in anything else. And so you constantly need that. And that's true of many things. They overpower our system. Mostly drugs, alcohol. I mean, these things, they make you want it and want it more and more. And everything else that's around just doesn't give you that satisfaction like it should. Because it overpowered your pleasure system, your pleasure center. And we have to be careful because little things in our life that we let in can take over our pleasure center.
That's right.
I mean, we all know and we should know and we should probably emphasize it more. Say no to drugs. I mean, drugs are going to take over your pleasure system and then you're going to be ruined. Because you're only going to be seeking something that can satisfy that pleasure center, and it's only going to be drugs. Because they overpower it. But yet there's a lot more things that do that. For example, I used to drink a lot of Coca-Cola. I mean, before I was married, for sure, I drank a lot of Coca-Cola. Every meal I had during the day was Coca-Cola. You know, forget milk in the cereal, I'm going to put Coke in. You know, I was brushing my teeth with Coke. I mean, man. But you know why? Because that just overruled everything else. Water doesn't taste good anymore. I mean, water really does taste good. Oh, boy. But after you drink enough Coke, water doesn't taste good anymore. And so if I wanted anything to taste good, I had to have Coke. It's overpowering us. And we're incapable of feeling pleasure in any other place with any other thing. But another one he mentioned, and this is the one I think is most interesting, is it's called overstimulating our senses, our pleasure center. It's overstimulating it. So what this means is we have a pleasure center, right? And there's a button there that when something happens, it causes it to be pressed and we feel pleasure, right? And this can come about in so many ways. He says that when a child is young and just sees his mother, it just sparks in him and a smile comes on his face and he's feeling pleasure just because he sees his mother. And I mean, all our life really can spark so many things in our life. Everything we do can actually give us some pleasure. But we have overstimulated it. We have overused it. What's going on now is we're pressing the button fast, we're pressing the button hard, and we're just doing it too much. And when you do it too much, you become numb to it. You become numb to it. You know, after drinking so much soda, soda doesn't taste good anymore. I mean, really. I drink so much Coca-Cola, and now it's just like, man, it's not really as good as it used to be. And that's what happens. You overstimulated it. Because, look, pleasures are part of life, and they're supposed to be sporadical. Every once in a while. It's not about every second of your life, you know, giving you a spark and stimulating. Woo! I'm happy, I'm pleasure, everything's great.
Yep. That's right.
But that's what the world has come to.
Yep. Yes.
Everything.
That's right.
We have to have a cell phone in our hand, texting, we have to have something in our ear, listening to music while we're watching TV, maybe playing a video game over here, and on the computer at the same time.
Amen. That's right.
You're pressing that button too much. And you're becoming less and less capable of feeling pleasure.
Yep.
There's so much entertainment right now. You know, it's funny because, you know, we see kids in our meetings, and we go talk to them, and they're having trouble in school, and you know, they just can't pay attention at the meeting. They can't pay attention at school. And they're wondering, why? But you know, when we go over there, the TV's turned on. And they're playing video games. You know, they're stimulating that pleasure center. And they're telling it, this gives you pleasure. And then whenever they go and do something not quite that entertaining, they just can't seem to focus. Because there's no pleasure in that.
Right.
So all these young people are walking around, you know, I'm bored. I'm so bored. Well, why? That's because you need, you know, bombs exploding and you know, shooting guns and all that to actually make you feel good.
Yep. Yeah, right.
And we're overstimulating our pleasure center. You know, sexual perversion is something that is just exploding too right now. We all know that. Everywhere. And you know what the reason for that is? It's because they've become incapable of enjoying what God has made to be a perfect pleasure in holy matrimony, and they've perverted it because they've overstimulated it.
Amen.
And they don't feel that anymore. They don't take pleasure in what's natural anymore. They need it to be worse. They need it to be more stimulating, and they're finding so many different disgusting ways to do it. But it's because they're stimulating that pleasure center too much. And you know, there's a lot of studies, especially what the psychiatrists are finding out is that a great deal of the causes for depression are due to this condition, which is called anhedonia. It's due because people just seem like they can't find pleasure in normal things in life, and so they feel depressed. And it's, you know, they say that young people are 5 to 8 times more likely to have depression now than 50 years ago. 5 to 8 times more likely. And it's because all day we're just pressing that button. And now we just can't find pleasure in the regular things. Playing with a stick just isn't that fun anymore. I mean, wasn't playing with sticks just a great thing to do? It's normal. But now we got kids with 1,000 toys and they don't like any of them. And we wonder why. Why are our kids so depressed? Why don't they pay attention in school? But we raise them, you know, with mother TV. Hey, go watch the TV. I'm doing my things.
Yep.
Loving pleasure is dangerous because loving pleasure makes you seek after it. And the more you seek after pleasure, the more and more difficult it becomes for you to actually find pleasure. And so you're going to seek after it more and more. And you find yourself putting aside important things to go after pleasure-seeking things. And that's what's happening. I mean, raising our children, very, very important. But it's so much easier to just let them watch TV, isn't it? I know, it is. We want to do something? Oh, let's just let them watch TV. And that'll keep them entertained? Hey, they can learn the ABCs on the television. But no, you're stimulating that, overstimulating their pleasure center. And they're just going to become more and more numb to it. And they're just going to need more and more attention. And more things. And so what you thought was the solution really isn't. It, on the contrary, it's worse now. And the world is telling you to love pleasures. Love pleasures. Fulfill all those desires and pleasures that you have and you'll be happy. That's not the truth. It's a lie. And it may sound like that's what we would think. That's probably reasonable, you know. I mean, if you want to be happy, well, fulfill your pleasures. What do you like? Go do it all the time. That'll make you happy. But it's not. It's not. It's actually the opposite. You know, when you actually feel the most pleasure is when you've gone a long time without it. I mean, for example, this man wrote about appetite, and he says if you want a good appetite, you don't want to wait and work and to get it. You just try to make shortcuts to everything. A good appetite, nothing is so conducive to a healthy appetite as labor, he says.
Amen.
Yeah.
You want your food to taste really good? He says, boy, just work.
Yeah.
And you work and then, man, that food tastes good. And it's true. But we think, man, we should just eat more and more and more. And we're just going to... But no, you eat so much that now you just don't find that much pleasure in food.
That's right.
And so you're eating more and more to get that pleasure. Yeah. And you got so many obese people in the States and in Mexico. And obesity is causing so many medical problems. And it's just... big problem. Why? It's all because we're trying to satisfy our pleasures. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. I mean, isn't it true that somebody who's just starving can eat a piece of bread and it tastes so much better to him than somebody who just finished eating and feels like he wants something and goes and gets it? It's true. Water tastes really good. It's just, we're just thirsty. We're not really thirsty. We just want something in our mouth. We just want something that tastes good. That's really what we want. And so we drink soda. But water really does taste good. You just got to be patient. Work, get tired, go out in the sun, and then you're going to want a good glass of water.
Amen.
That's the truth. I mean, things just are much more pleasurable when you work for them. When you're not always satisfying them.
That's right.
Tell you, air conditioning feels so much better. when you're out in the hot Texas sun than come into a building. But if you're in Poland, I don't think air conditioning sounds too appealing. You know, walk through the door. Oh, it's colder inside. No. We don't want what's always constant. That's not going to fulfill us. That's not going to give us pleasure. We need pleasure to be sporadic.
Yeah.
But more importantly, true pleasure comes from working for it. Now, this, what he says here, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God is really what we're seeing in the world. And yet, it's scary because that's just infiltrating into the church.
Yeah.
I mean, the church in the past few decades has slowly started making it about pleasures.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
No longer is spirituality driven by sound doctrine, but it's driven by stimulating your pleasures. It's infiltrating in the church. Loving pleasures. We go to church, but man, I mean, reading is boring. We don't read anymore. That's boring. And so, the church says, hey, we got a solution. We want people to come. Let's just give them what they want. Let's entertain them. And they will come. Yeah. But you know, and you're going to have to entertain them more and more and more, and it's going to have to grow because they're not going to be satisfied if it's always the same. It's like, have you ever seen a movie that you just thought was so neat? You know, I mean, you remember that, and that was the best movie, full of action and just great. And then you watch it 10 years later, and it's just, what?
Yeah.
That look, you know, I remember that a lot better than it really was. Because in the process of time, they've been making it more and more and more entertaining and more action and much better quality. And now what you were used to before doesn't bring pleasure.
Yeah, right.
And you need a whole lot more of it. And that's what's going to happen with the church if we keep trying to make it about fulfilling our pleasure.
That's right. Yes. Amen.
And it's infiltrating in each and every one of our lives. They're trying. I mean, the world is really trying to get you to live for pleasures. And they're probably having a pretty good success in doing it. How much of our life is actually dedicated to fulfilling our pleasures? And that's scary. That's not how it's supposed to be. We're supposed to be lovers of God.
Amen.
He loved us. And we should love Him. We should love Him with all our heart, all our mind. Everything we've got should be love toward Him. And yet pleasures have caught our eye. And we're running after them. And every time we're fulfilling our pleasures, it's harder to get pleasure again. And so we're trying harder and harder to fulfill them. And we're putting God aside. And it's just really, to me, I think it's really interesting how ironic this is. You know, how much of a paradox it is. It's not what it seems to be. If you really want pleasure in your life, the solution isn't go out and live for pleasures. That's not the solution. The truth is, if you want pleasure in your life, learn how to do what's important and work hard for it.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, you'll actually feel real true pleasure.
That's right.
I mean, at your job, work harder than anybody else there. Work harder than all of them there. Let them be, you know, entangled with all these other things because they can't just stay focused and do a job. You know, they got to do other things while they're doing that. You do it. Stay focused. Do your job. Do it well. And at the end of the day, guess what? You're going to feel pleasure in that. And you're going to go home and you're going to eat, and man, that food's going to taste really good. And I think of, you know, the way Christ explained many things that weren't actually how they seemed they should be. Right? He says, you want to be exalted? Don't exalt yourself. If you exalt yourself, you're going to be abased. If you want to be exalted, humble yourself.
Amen.
And I'll exalt you. I mean, that just doesn't sound like the way it would be. It's a paradox. It's not true. It's the opposite. And that's how it is with this. You want pleasure. You want to feel pleasure. You want to be truly joyful and happy. Don't live for pleasures. That's just going to make you depressed. You're going to get up there in age. And what? What do you got? Nothing brings pleasure to you anymore. Because you need a great amount of things to give you pleasure because your whole life has been about that. But you can get to the end of your life and have worked hard, have done right by your kids, have seen how things have grown, and you can feel very content.
Amen.
And joyful.
Yes.
And it's a pleasure to see these things that you've accomplished. It's a pleasure to see things that you accomplish.
True.
That's true pleasure. And you know, we're able to do something that brings true pleasure. I mean true pleasure. Yeah? Christ is coming back. And he's coming in glory. And guess what? If you put aside pleasures right now, you say, you know what? I'm not going to live for pleasures. I'm going to put aside my life and my desires and my pleasure on the side, and I'm going to live for Christ.
Amen.
And when he comes back, your life is hidden him. And maybe it doesn't seem like you're full of joy and pleasure and all that is just full in your life right now. But when he comes back, that's going to be true.
Amen.
That's going to be true.
Amen.
Can you imagine being able to be like Paul and say, I fought the good fight.
Amen.
Boy, I've done it. You think about how much pleasure, how much satisfaction and joy he had when he came to the end and said, I've done it. I've accomplished it. He had pleasure that was going to last for all eternity.
Amen.
And his life was not full of pleasures. I mean, it's very hard to do. It's not natural for us to choose to be out in the hot sun when we could be in the shade. It's not natural. But if you do, if you choose, I'm gonna live for Christ. If that means I'm gonna have to suffer, I'm gonna have to go through some things, I'm gonna have to work hard, I'm gonna have to be, you know, good at what I do, and I'm gonna focus on that. Not natural to choose suffering over relaxation and pleasure. But boy, in the end, that's the answer. You want to feel real pleasure? Don't live for pleasures. Live for Christ.
Amen.
And you will find true pleasure.
Amen.
Thank you, Nelda, because, boy, I believe Nelda can feel more pleasure than a whole bunch of other people who wasted their life.
Yes.
And they thought they had it, you know. They thought they had that dream. Woo! We have TV and we have everything. And now they got nothing. Nothing real.
Nothing real. That's right.
But a life spent for Christ?
Amen.
That's true pleasure.
Amen.
Let's be lovers of God. Not lovers of pleasure.
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen.
Amen. out with this song. Sing the whole song. Number 43. Sing it out. Make some decisions. Number 43.
We'll be right back.